Hello and welcome to episode 850 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We're recording on Easter Monday, April 1st, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Monday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain holy perseverance. O Queen of Heaven, I, who was once a miserable slave of Lucifer, now dedicate myself to thee, to be thy servant forever. I offer myself to honor thee and serve thee during my whole life. Do thou accept me and refuse me not as I should deserve. O my mother, in thee have I placed all my hopes. From thee do I expect every grace. I bless and thank God, who in his mercy has given me this confidence in thee, which I consider a pledge of my salvation. Alas, miserable wretch that I am, I have hitherto fallen, because I have not had recourse to thee. I now hope that through the merits of Jesus Christ and thy prayers, I have obtained pardon. But I may again lose divine grace. The danger is not past. My enemies do not sleep. How many new temptations have I still to conquer? Ah, my most sweet lady, protect me, and permit me not again to become their slave. Help me at all times. I know that thou wilt help me, and that with thy help I shall conquer, if I recommend myself to thee. But this is what I fear. I fear that in time of danger I may neglect to call upon thee and thus be lost. I ask thee then for this grace. Obtain that in the assaults of hell I may always have recourse to thee, saying, Mary, help me, my mother, permit me not to lose my God. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Today, friends, we're going to look at the Fatima Crusader, issue 132, Spring 2024 edition, and this is from the introduction entitled A Fake Sister Lucia. We have a quote here from Father Nicholas Gruner. It is possible that there was an imposter Sister Lucia, but it is a moot point now as she is deceased. Don't get sidetracked. Stay focused on and live the Fatima message. Do what Our Lady asks of you to help bring about her promise, triumph of her Immaculate Heart. Perform the five first Saturdays devotion and promote the necessity of and pray for the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary by the Pope in union with all the Catholic bishops of the world. And the article begins, and this is by Father Michael Rodriguez. The Fatima Center's mission, as established by our founder, Father Nicholas Gruner, is to make the full message of Our Lady of Fatima known, understood, loved, and obeyed by all. The message Our Lady delivered to the three Fatima children, and through them to all of us, is that by obeying her requests, principally for the widespread practice by Catholics of the First Saturday devotion, and for the Pope and Catholic bishops of the world to consecrate Russia to her Immaculate Heart, many souls will be saved and there will be a period of world peace. Yet if these requests remain unfulfilled, the Church and the world will have much to suffer. Neither request has been fulfilled to date, and we are living through the chastisements of which Our Lady warned. The only solution to the profound crisis that besets the Church and the world is for a critical mass of Catholics to live the Fatima message to obtain the graces needed for Our Lady of Fatima's request to be properly obeyed, as this will defeat Satan's designs for our age. The devil does everything in his power to oppose its fulfillment. Even as Our Lady's apostolate seeks to spread the Fatima message, we are increasingly asked about the fake Sister Lucia theory, the idea that sometime in or before 1967, the real Sister Lucia was replaced by an imposter. After all, some contend, if an imposter was in place by 1967, then nothing attributed to Sister Lucia since that date can be believed. Wouldn't that invalidate the Fatima message, which Father Gruner and the Fatima Center have been promoting since 1978? As you'll see in this special issue of the Fatima Crusader, while there is evidence that the woman who appeared as Sister Lucia on a few occasions, beginning in 1967, was an imposter, nothing the imposter said or did invalidates the Fatima message. all the elements of which were in place before 1960. Moreover, there is evidence that the real Sister Lucia was alive and saying things that contradicted the Vatican's false narrative through 1989. There is also good reason to believe she was alive after the Vatican released a portion of the Third Secret of Fatima in 2000. If the fake Sister Lucia theory is true, it demonstrates how far the Vatican is prepared to go to downplay the full Fatima message in support of its post-Vatican II program, but it would not detract at all from the truth and urgency of that message. We will begin by examining how the fake Sister Lucia theory emerged and what Father Gruner said in response. We will examine the new evidence procured by Dr. Peter Chronowski and his Sister Lucy Truth Project and evaluate what it does and does not prove. We will then turn our attention to the evidence that indicates the real Sister Lucia was alive and making statements that directly contradicted the Vatican narrative about Fatima until 1989, and the reasons to believe she was still alive until at least 2001. Lastly, we will consider whether and to what extent the fake Sister Lucia theory affects the veracity and importance of the message of Our Lady of Fatima. We recognize that this might be the first time that some of our readers are hearing about the fake Sister Lucia theory. Others have accused the Fatima Center of delaying in addressing this issue. Perhaps they are unfamiliar with Father Gruner's well-reasoned response provided a decade ago, which retains its validity. After reading this issue of the Fatima Crusader, we hope all of you will conclude, as Father Gruner did, that while the fake Sister Lucia theory is plausible to a limited degree, we should not get sidetracked by it, but instead focus on living and spreading the full message of Our Lady of Fatima by amending our lives, praying our daily rosary, offering a communion of reparation on the first Saturdays, praying and sacrificing for the consecration of Russia, and spreading devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Father Michael Rodriguez, Diocese of El Paso, Texas. And I'll pause here for a moment, friends, and say that we have discussed the theory in regards to Dr. Peter Chronowski and the fake Sister Lucy hypothesis. The Fatima Center agrees, and they're going to point that out during the course of these articles that we go through, that there's little, if any, doubt that a fake Sister Lucy, an imposter Sister Lucy, appeared on the scene around 1967 and thereafter. What the Fatima Center disagrees with, and I'll leave that up to you to be the judge, is that this doesn't imply that something nefarious happened, that Sister Lucia, the real Sister Lucia, was killed or something like that in the 1960s. That's what the Sister Lucy Truth organization affiliated with Dr. Chronowski would tend to believe, would lead you to believe that she was eliminated sometime in the 1960s, or perhaps she died in the 1960s and was replaced. That's a contention that the Fatima Center disagrees with. But what they're going to get at, and most importantly, what I want to try to get across to you, is the most important thing is to live a virtuous life and continue to live the Fatima message, continue to make the five First Saturdays devotions, and continue to live a life that is devoted to our Lord and our Lady. So they begin here with what they call Chapter 1, Evidence Emerges. Dr. Marian Horvat and Tradition in Action. In 2006, Dr. Marian Horvat, a prominent Catholic commentator and one of the founders of the Tradition in Action website, reopened the door to previously published articles and other media-based discussions regarding the possibility of an imposter Sister Lucia of Fatima. The Fatima Center had already broached this topic as early as 1993, see Chapter 4. In her first article, Dr. Horvat compared photos of Sister Lucia from the 1940s with two photos published years later. Dr. Horvat was truly taken aback with one of those two photos of Sister Lucia as a young nun, which had been published by Inside the Vatican magazine. Inside the Vatican later acknowledged that it had erred in identifying the woman in that photograph as Sister Lucia. Nevertheless, this error opened a new line of inquiry. Dr. Horvat went on to write a second article comparing six sets of photos, each one consisting of an older photo of Sister Lucia and a more recent one. Using her layperson's knowledge of human physiology and ordinary observation skills, Dr. Horvat found numerous differences between the woman in the older photos, whom she called Sister Lucy 1, and the one in the more recent photos, whom she named Sister Lucy 2. She noted differences in the shapes of their faces, lips, smiles, noses, eyes, eyebrows, cheeks, chins, teeth, and side profiles. Dr. Horvat also detected differences in the postures, gestures, and expressions displayed in the photos of Sister Lucy 1 and Sister Lucy 2. Sister Lucy 1 appears solemn, composed, and reserved. She always stands in a very collected way, her hands in a discreet gesture. She appears to be a person unaccustomed to being photographed, a bit awkward and uncomfortable with it. From her postures, gestures, and expression, it is easy to believe that she is the person who saw Our Lady and understood the gravity of the message and the role she should play in it. In the set of photos of Sister Lucy 2, we see a person with a different state of spirit. She is always smiling, at ease in public, and relaxed in her postures and gestures. She has lost the natural timidity typical of Sister Lucy 1. She became not only fearless, but also completely comfortable and integrated in ambiances external to her contemplative life. In a tête-à-tête with John Paul II, she leans forward, her face smiling and jovial. She no longer seems anxious about the future, her mission, a coming chastisement, the corruption of consecrated souls, or the many other concerns she had expressed before. She seems optimistic and content. Even more disturbing to Dr. Horvat were reports that the personal testimony of these two Lucias was inconsistent or contradictory. If Our Lord and Our Lady continued to appear to her, why did she say nothing about Vatican II and the so-called reforms that came from it, such as the Novus Ordo Mass, other liturgical novelties, and the loss of religious vocations? On the contrary, Sister Lucy II appears completely adapted to those novelties. For example, in certain photos, she is receiving communion standing. If she expressed such serious concern about the importance that the third secret be revealed in 1960, why was she silent about it for the next 40 years? These and many other questions could be explained by the fact that there was a different Sister Lucy being presented to the public after 1960. Dr. Horvat concluded that the differences in physical characteristics, mannerisms, and testimonies of Sister Lucy 1 and Sister Lucy 2 suggested that the latter may be an imposter. Her conclusion caused an explosion of commentary, debate, and even vitriol. Her presentation had been conjectural, by her own admission, a subjective and informal analysis. Some readers hotly disputed her conclusions. For example, did Sister Lucia wear dentures in her later years? And if so, could those dentures explain the differences in the shape of her teeth, mouth, smile, and jawline? Dr. Horvat received and responded to the serious challenges made against her hypothesis. She humbly acknowledged that she presented evidence and her opinion to her readers with the honest concern to expose the truth so that Catholics may judge whether they are being fooled or not. So ends chapter one, and we'll be going through the rest of these mini articles during the course of the week. It's, of course, very intriguing, but once again, we want to stay with the main crux of the Fatima message, which is to make your five first Saturdays devotions and continue to be the best possible Catholic man or Catholic woman you can be. Let us conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. And please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast and spread those far and wide. They have to do with RPM, which is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she is a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. That's all thanks to God's grace, first and foremost, but also her hard work and the hard work of her family breaking through to open communication via RPM. This has been as big of a breakthrough for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf, or you can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please spread the word. May God richly bless you for doing so. I would also ask you to say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.